couple of years ago on a Sunday night, I was making my way to the front of the building before services, shaking hands, and there were a couple of boys sitting on the very front row, and I went and greeted them, two brothers. And one of them said, "Mr. Bubba, are you preaching tonight?" And I said, "I sure am." And he said, "You are?" And his eyes got real big, and his smile got real big, and my head got real big. And he turned to his brother next to him and said, "He gives short lessons." And that's why he was excited. Well, I don't plan to preach very long tonight, but I do beg of your attention as we study the Word of God together and continue our study of Jesus' call of the 12 apostles. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 6. If you'd like to make your way there and follow along in your Bible as we read from the Word of God together. Luke chapter 6. Thank you to all who have led in our services today. Thank you, Tommy. We tried to make Texans out of the Campbells, and they just had too much Arkansas in them. But it's great to be reunited with them this week. In verse 12 of Luke 6, Luke records, "And it was at that time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon who was called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor." Luke makes the point of saying that these men who were first disciples were then called to be apostles of Jesus Christ. He didn't just walk down the road and see some man standing there and say, "I think you're going to be my apostle from this day forward." He had multitudes of disciples who followed him. People who listened at his feet and heard him preach about the kingdom of God. And so from these disciples, followers, Jesus chose 12 apostles. A word that means literally one sent. And it was these 12 apostles that Jesus would later send into all the world to preach the gospel. But I want you to see that before Jesus ever told them, "Go and preach," he first said to them, "Come and learn." They learned of him. They followed him. They were his disciples. And then he sent them to preach the good news about the kingdom of God. We find this same pattern repeated later in the early church. Sometimes we read the passage in Acts 8 that they went everywhere preaching the word. And we make the point, everybody needs to be evangelistic. Everybody needs to go out and preach. But do you know what they first did before everyone went out preaching? They first continued in the apostles' doctrine. They had to know what to preach and how to teach it. And so an apostle was first a disciple. We are first called to follow Jesus. But I want you to know that part of our calling in being his disciple involves a call to share. In Matthew chapter 28, at the end of Matthew's gospel, one of the last things Jesus told the apostles before his ascension to heaven, in verses 19 and 20 of Matthew chapter 28, "Go therefore and make disciples, teaching them." Those who had been taught now had the responsibility to go and teach. Those who had been disciples were now under obligation to go and make disciples. And so I want to talk to you tonight about our responsibility to share the gospel as we see through these 12 apostles. Obviously, when you have 6 lessons to cover 12 apostles, you're going to have to do some combining. And so for tonight, we're going to combine three apostles, Andrew, Philip, and Bartholomew, because their story is all told in John chapter 1. If you'd like to turn there, we'll spend the rest of our time tonight in John chapter 1. A friend of mine was telling me about preaching where he labors locally and was talking about the church's responsibility to the visitor. When the visitors come into our assembly and how we need to make sure that they feel welcome and apart so that they'll come back and keep learning about God and the Bible. And he said he especially focused on the teenagers. He said when we have a visitor who's a teenager, you need to invite them to sit with you. You need to make sure they know where class is. You need to find out where they go to school. And he thought, boy, I'm just really hammering the nail in. And after services, he watched, and all the teenagers got up, went out the side door, and they were gone. Well, he went around back and met them in the parking lot and said, didn't y'all hear what I was preaching? Didn't you hear a word I said in there? And they said, oh, we didn't know you were talking to us. Well, I'm afraid we're going to be like that on the day of judgment. When it comes to evangelism, we say, well, Lord, we didn't know you meant us. Go, therefore, and make disciples, teaching them. And I want you to see from our text tonight, you're not going to have to go very far. Because first of all, you can share the gospel with your family. Share the gospel with your family. Start reading with me John chapter 1 and verse 35. And again the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and beheld them following and said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and you will see. They came therefore and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. John the Baptist was standing there with Andrew and the other disciple, who was most likely John, the son of Zebedee. And he saw Jesus, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And so these two men started following Jesus. And upon investigation of who Jesus was, Andrew said, I've got to go tell my brother. And so notice that it said Andrew in verse 41 found first his own brother Simon and shared with him the news. We have found him. We found the Messiah. Andrew first found his own brother. There is not much information in the Gospels revealed about the Apostle Andrew. Almost every time he is mentioned, it is usually followed with that description, the brother of Simon Peter. How would you like it if you were known not for who you are, but who you're related to? That's the case with Andrew. And the implication is people wouldn't know who he was unless you told them that's Simon Peter's brother. Somebody said, well, I saw Andrew the other day. And the other person said, Andrew, let's see. Do I know him? I can't place Andrew. You know, Peter's brother. Oh, that one. Yeah, I got him now. Andrew. Not much said about Andrew. But can you imagine the difference in the first century church if Andrew had not first found his own brother Simon? We read this morning Peter's confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Peter was able to make that confession Because Andrew first found his own brother and said, "We found him." Peter preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost. For the first time said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." But it was because Andrew first found his own brother and said, "We found the Messiah." Peter wrote two epistles. But again, there's no epistle of Andrew. There's no book on the Acts of Andrew. There's no book on the sermons of Andrew. But what a contribution he made to the cause when Andrew first found his own brother Simon. I mean, the poor guy doesn't even make the Peter, James, and John in the sailboat song. Andrew was there too. He got cut out of that. But his work was in finding his own brother Simon. He brought him to Jesus. You can share the gospel with your family. Isn't it so that the Bible speaks about the importance of family evangelism? Evangelism in the home. Keep your marker here, but look back to Genesis chapter 18 and notice something that is revealed about Abraham as to why God chose him. Why this man, through whom he would build a nation, through whom all families of the earth would be blessed. Genesis chapter 18, read with me at verse 18 beginning. The Lord said in verse 17, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth shall be blessed? For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." He said, "I chose this man because he's one who's going to command the generations after him. He's going to make certain that they stay true to what God said, so that in Abraham and his seed, all nations can be blessed." We often speak about Noah building the ark. 120 years. Poor old Noah preached all that time. Didn't convert a soul, did he? Well, did Noah get on the ark by himself? I thought Peter said that 8 souls were brought safely through the water. It wasn't just Noah. It was his wife and their sons and the wives of their sons. 8 souls. Noah saved his family. What did Joshua say when he brought the children of Israel to a decision point? "You've got all these other gods available for you to serve, and you need to choose who you're going to serve. But as for me, I'm going alone. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's sharing the gospel with your family. Paul commended Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 for the sincere faith that is within you. But did Timothy get that on his own? He said, "No, it first dwelt in your grandmother Lois. And she shared the gospel with your mother Eunice. And she shared the gospel with you, Timothy." Share the gospel with your family. You're not going to have to go very far if you want to make disciples. You can start right at home. A lady was married to an unbeliever. And not only was he an unbeliever, but he tried to discourage her in her faith. One Sunday morning, he got up real early and fixed the car where it wouldn't start. And he watched from the window as she loaded the kids in the car, ready to go to Bible class. And he watched in delight as she tried to start the car over and over, and it wouldn't start. Then he watched in amazement as she got the kids out of the car, put one of them on her hip, grabbed the other one by the hand, and they started walking toward the church building. He was so ashamed that he went and fixed a car and drove and picked them up and took them to the building and went in with them. And he kept going back. And he was baptized. And he's now preaching the gospel. He's sharing the gospel with other people. Because his wife, as Peter said, without a word, shared the gospel with him. We have a responsibility to share what we've learned. We've been disciples. Let's go make disciples. But you don't have to go very far. You can share the gospel with your family. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Share the gospel with your family. We learned that from Andrew, who first found his own brother. Number two, you can share the gospel with your friends. Share the gospel with your family. Share the gospel with your friends. Let's pick up the reading, please, at verse 43 of John 1. The next day, he purposed to go forth into Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Philip found Nathanael. If you'll go to the very back cover of your booklet where we have the four lists of the 12 apostles, we're going to have to do a little investigative work on this one. You most likely noticed in our reading from Luke 6 tonight a name that has not been on our list when we read Matthew and Mark's account. They both mention Thaddeus, where Luke mentions Judas, the son of James. He was most likely called Judas, the son of James, to differentiate him from Judas Iscariot. And Thaddeus was a nickname. It means warm-hearted or childlike heart. And so just by necessary inference, since all the other names are identical, Thaddeus must equal Judas, the son of James. It was common for one man to have two or three names in Jesus' day. Well, notice on Matthew, Mark, and Luke's list also that Philip and Bartholomew are always mentioned together. Philip and Bartholomew always mentioned together. Now, when you get to John's gospel, Bartholomew is not mentioned at all. But Nathanael is. And Nathanael is usually mentioned with Philip. Now, Nathanael is not mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So we've got a couple of alternatives here. One alternative is this guy was a superhero. And one was his alter ego. Nathanael comes in and they say, "Oh, you just missed Bartholomew." And he said, "Oh, he's always here when I'm not here." Or it's the same person who went by different names. In fact, Bartholomew is a surname. It means son of Ptolemy. And so it's very likely that this apostle's name was Nathanael Bartholomew. And so when Philip found Nathanael, it's most likely that Philip found Bartholomew. That's the same person. If you're not convinced, in John chapter 21, after the resurrection, many of the apostles are there. Nathanael is mentioned along with the other apostles. And so it's likely that Bartholomew and Nathanael are the same individual. In any case, Philip found his friend. Andrew found his brother. Philip couldn't wait to tell his friend, "We have found him. We have found the Messiah, the one who has been promised." A while back we had a cat who found his way into our garage at the house. And my kids instantly fell in love. And they asked after a week or so if we could get this stray cat a bowl and a bed and a name. They named him. And what I discovered is when you give a stray cat a bowl, a bed, and a name, you have a pet. And so my family got attached to Max, we called him. And the kids loved to go out and play with Max. Well, one afternoon they went out and he wasn't where he was supposed to be. They went around and looked for him. They even called his name, as if cats come when you call them. Anyway, they called his name and Max didn't come. We even got these big poster boards and put his picture on them and posted them around the neighborhood. And we had in big letters, "Lost Cat." We did that for a stray. But you know, we have neighbors across the street who are just as lost in their sins. And we're not concerned about them. We have people that we've worked with, people we've gone to school with, people we see every week who are just as lost as a stray cat. And we won't say anything. I want you to be impressed that Philip found Nathanael. Now he says words to indicate that Nathanael understood who the Messiah was. They had studied this. They were looking and waiting for him. And so when Philip brought word, "We found him," yes, Nathanael said, "I want to know more." But you can share the gospel with your friends. Who is it in Acts chapter 10 and verse 24 that Cornelius assembled? He's called Peter to come and preach to his house. And in Acts 10 and verse 24, we read that Cornelius assembled his relatives and close friends and said, "We want to hear all that's been commanded you by the Lord." Relatives and his close friends. In Mark chapter 5, after Jesus performed a miracle on this occasion, there were some times when Jesus did a miracle and told them, "Don't tell anyone what I've done for you." That was not the case here in Mark chapter 5. In verses 19 and 20, after he had performed this great work, a man who had a legion of demons inside of him, and Jesus cast the demons into the swine, you remember? And the swine went over the cliff. That was the first documented case of swine flu. But anyway, the swine went off the cliff. You can also use deviled ham there. But anyway, after the miracle, here's what Jesus said to the man whom he had healed. Verse 19 of Mark 5. "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." Look what the next verse says. "He went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled." May I ask you, has the Lord done great things for you? Then go and report to your people. Has the Lord shown mercy on you? Then go and share the gospel with your friends. You know what happens when you do that? And they believe? Your friends become your family. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Surely there's someone at your school, at your office, in your neighborhood who you can go and share the gospel with. You won't have to go very far. You can share the gospel with your friends. And then number three, you can share the gospel with the misinformed. Share the gospel with the misinformed. "Oh, they'll never believe anyway. I tell you what, they've already got their mind made up. And they're already attached where they are. There's no use telling them. No, what we learned from Philip and Nathanael is you share the gospel and let the word of God do its work. What was Nathanael's response when Philip said, "We have found him"? Verse 46, Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Are you kidding me? Nazareth? Nathanael was from Cana of Galilee. You look on a map, and those were neighboring cities. I don't know if there was some town rivalry there. In Houston, we might say, can anything good come out of Dallas? But that was his response. Maybe he was thinking that the greatest story of all would come from a more significant city. Can anything good come out of that? He almost shut it down right there. All of his prejudices and preconceptions clouded his judgment. But look what Philip said. Come and see. Philip didn't stop. He just said, well, come make up your own mind. Don't let other people or what you've heard influence you. You come investigate and you'll see. Share the gospel with the misinformed. You tell someone, why don't you come and visit our services sometime? Oh, well, I know about you. You think you're the only ones going to heaven over there. You know what you say? Come and see. You may have heard that from others, but come and see if you detect that spirit among our people here. Oh, I don't want to go there. Y'all don't even believe in music, as if we've denied its existence. You know what you say? Well, come and see. I don't know who told you that, but just come and see. Come make up your own mind. Share the gospel with the misinformed. Instead of us deciding for them, let them make up their own mind. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 15, Peter said we need to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts. But I want you to notice what he said that will do to your influence in the world. When you decide to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and enthrone Him in your heart and follow His will as His disciple. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Yet with gentleness and reverence. You ever come across a quote that you wish you'd said it first and then everybody quoted you after that? Listen to this one. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We must be prepared to share the gospel, to give an account for the hope that is in us. But did you notice Peter said you do that with gentleness and reverence, meekness and fear. Show them that you care. Not that you're just trying to impress them that you know all the Greek words for this passage, or you know all the signs and symbols in the book of Revelation and you want to show them your knowledge. Show them that you care. And that's why you want to share the gospel with them. You've heard all these other things about the Bible. Come and see. And you decide. Instead of us deciding for them, we'll let the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, pierce their heart. So that they too can become disciples of Jesus Christ. Nathanael almost missed that. He did come and see. And he talked to Jesus at the end of John 1. And Jesus said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered in verse 49, said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you're the King of Israel. Didn't take long for him to see. Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. Come and see. And when they do, and the gospel does its work, they will see greater things than these. Share the gospel with your family, with your friends, and even with the misinformed. We learned that from Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew. The church was going to have a gospel meeting where the little eighth grade boy was a member. And so he invited his best friend from school to come to the meeting with him. And he did. And he kept coming. By this time, they were ninth graders. And the friend of the little boy became a Christian. By this time, his parents became a little skeptical of what their son was getting into. And they said, we're going to go check it out. And they did. And they became Christians, as did their other son and daughter. Those three siblings went on to marry Christian spouses. They've gone on to have kids, some who have reached the age of accountability and have been baptized. Others are still being brought up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The little eighth grade boy who was invited by his friend is now serving as an elder of the Southside Church in Pasadena. And all of that started because one little boy shared the gospel with his friend. Let's continue to share this gift that keeps on giving. Let's do so as disciples who understand what great things the Lord has done for us, and who can't wait to report it so that He can have mercy on them too. Share the gospel. It could be that the gospel needs to be sown in your heart, that you could come and make your confession this afternoon, your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. You can be a productive servant in His kingdom and bear fruit. And through your example, encourage others to continue to spread the gospel. If you have a need this morning that we can help, why don't you come and make that known right now while we stand and sing.